Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kaveh Tayyib. The saga of former CIA worker and leaker Edward Snowden continues in its twists and turns. In this debate, we're going to be discussing why it is important to focus on what he has leaked, and also how the U.S. went about its surveillance program, instead of focusing on Snowden's asylum destination, for example, something which many Western media outlets have done. We're also going to discuss the victims, if they are really the victims, like EU countries. On the other hand, China, well, they might not be the victims in the sense that the EU countries pretend that they are. Also, the officials involved and whether their shock reactions have been sincere or not.
Brazil has called on Washington to explain why U.S. intelligence services have been monitoring millions of emails and phone calls of its citizens. Foreign Minister Antonio Patriota says Brazil is waiting for a response from the United States regarding the issue.
The United States Ambassador in Brazil, Thomas Shannon, was called on so we could be informed about the news aired by Globo and even U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry later on Sunday. We sent a formal request for an explanation, and now we are waiting for a formal response from the United States.
The spying programs have stricken fear in Brazilians from the government to the man on the street, as they realize they too have become victims of the United States' top-secret espionage. The revelation was made in classified documents disclosed by former NSA analyst Edward Snowden. The leaks show the United States has been spying on Brazilian citizens and companies over the past 10 years. The Brazilian O Globo story, partially written by Guardian journalist Glenn Greenwald, sparked consternation in Brazil on Saturday when it pointed to surveillance maps among Snowden's documents that showed the country was among the most heavily data-mined nations, along with Iran, China, Russia, and Pakistan. Now, the Brazilian government has decided to deal with the issue on three different fronts. Firstly, to demand an explanation from the United States over at least a decade-long surveillance. Secondly, to launch a mass probe into the surveillance program and the amount of data it collected. Thirdly, to strengthen its own defenses and international cooperation on cybersecurity. Greenwald has opened the floodgates on the amount of data that has been collected over the past few years.
Have been trying to do everything possible to expose the excesses of the NSA, the dangers of extreme secrecy behind which the U.S. government operates. And so to be essentially given thousands of top secret documents that prove all the things that I've been saying for a long time, and much more that I haven't been saying, in a way that has prompted genuinely a worldwide debate about the dangers of surveillance and the U.S. government and excessive secrecy is very invigorating.
As the latest reports coming from Brazil shows, documents provided by Snowden have contained increasingly embarrassing revelations about U.S. spying on friendly nations, as well as its own people.
Lots of questions coming out of these revelations. Let's discuss them. Our guests for this edition include Stuart Stogel. He's from Newsmax magazine, joining us from New York. Stuart Stogel, thank you so much for joining us here. To begin with, in this hunt, this U.S. hunt for Snowden, do you think that the U.S. is losing more than just secrets?
Well, yeah, obviously the public image downfall is substantial. It's complicating things from a public relations viewpoint regarding Obama. And to be quite honest with you, I don't think what the U.S. is doing is much different from what other nations are doing. But with this particular administration, they're holding themselves to a high moral standard. So it looks very duplistic. Yes, it's causing a massive public relations fallout for them.
Well, what about the way that it has gone about doing this, Stuart Stogel, in terms of the way that it has pressured certain countries, in terms of the behind the scenes, whether overt or what have you? I mean, some are suggesting in this case in point that it's almost as if the U.S. is resorting to threats. Doesn't that damage itself in terms of its image publicly, whether it stands for human rights and rule of law?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you've got Obama strong-arming every country that seems to be interested in giving Snowden asylum. Yet, he then says that he's not going to have any jets, any U.S. Air Force jets, force down any airliner that Snowden may use to seek asylum. So on one hand, he's saying that we're going to use all the mechanisms of the U.S. government to go after Snowden. On the other hand, he says, well, we're not going to force him down like Evo Morales' plane from Bolivia was forced down last week. He's trying to have it both ways.
Okay, and sticking with just the domestic effects and consequences that this has had, there's no way that you could actually discuss a possibility of an investigation into these leaks without actually treading or intruding on the First Amendment.
Well, I may or may not agree with you. However, there is a poll that was released, I think on Fox News about 2 nights ago, which, believe it or not, I think 51% of the American public do not consider Snowden to be a traitor, but a leaker. So it seems that a slight majority of the American public do believe he's a whistleblower and not a traitor.
So is leaking classified documents illegal?
Well, yes, they are. I mean, you know, just because you're a whistleblower doesn't necessarily mean you're not engaging in criminal action. But let's go back a little ways. I used to be a producer at NBC News way back in the mid-90s, and my Pentagon correspondent, Mr. Ed Rabel, was breaking stories on both North Korea and Cuba that did not sit well with the U.S. government. And we always went under the assumption that the NSA, the CIA, the FBI was always monitoring our traffic without court orders, which is different than this time around. There were court orders this time. When Ed Rabel and I were causing real problems for the Clinton administration, we had every reason to believe the U.S. intelligence agencies were in fact monitoring our private communications without legal authority.
Okay, let's move on to some of the statements that have been made by many. One I'm going to bring in is former Senator Mike Gravel. He has said leakers are an essential part of democracy, unjustly persecuted by, he said, tyrants posing as Democrats. And he said all three branches of government have collaborated, and Snowden, Manning, and the other whistleblowers are people who are following the law a lot more closely than people who prosecute them. I mean, isn't it, which camp are you in? Do you believe that what Snowden did was something that was his obligation, as seeing what he thought was a crime being reported and then revealed it? Stuart Stuggle.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the question? I didn't hear you.
I want to know which camp are you in. This former Senator Mike Gravel seems to think that aside from the government, branches of the government, three branches of government, to have collaborated in keeping secrets for years, he has said that Snowden, Manning, and other whistleblowers are people who are following the law a lot more closely than the people who prosecute them. Which camp are you in? I mean, what Snowden did, do you agree with the fact
that...
Go ahead.
I think there's a real problem here. Unfortunately, Mr. Snowden, according to the American press reports, took the job with Booz Allen and company for the NSA to specifically get his hands on classified documents and leak them. It wasn't as if he was an employee who became disgruntled and decided that he could no longer tolerate the law breaking. It seems in Mr. Snowden's case, he specifically went in there to get his hands on these documents. And to be honest with you, even though his motive may be honest, the fact of the matter is he's not judge, jury, and executioner. He has to be held responsible. He did not release those documents in a way that would complicate the U.S. efforts to prosecute him. He's done it in a way where if it goes to court, this guy is going to be found guilty and he's going to spend prison time. So in this particular case, I agree with what the administration is doing. It was not for him to release those documents. He could have given them to the Senate or the House Select Committee on Intelligence and they could have legally tried to release them. Snowden is unfortunately not the senior editor, again, judge, jury, and executioner. It was not for him to release those documents to the Guardian.
Well, technically, first of all, it is not against the law to release classified information if it does not do any harm. On the other hand, it is illegal to release information that's sensitive but not even classified if it does do some harm. Unlike what Jay Carney has said, the White House press secretary that we are talking about, classified information, the leaking of which is a crime. Let me bring in Randy Short. He's a human rights activist who joins us on the phone from Washington. Randy Short, why don't you tell us, I don't know if you heard Stuart Stuggle at the end there, but in terms of what Snowden did, he says... Stuart Stuggle, that what Snowden did was illegal, was against the law, and therefore the U.S. has a right within the jurisdiction of the law to go after him.
How do I feel about it? My feelings are mixed, in as much as our government breaks the law in terms of how it violates our civil liberties, it violates the Constitution, it violates the international human rights of other people. The fact that he disclosed that isn't something new. I mean, there those of us who have questions about Snowden, you look at a white male who did not complete college or high school, getting a six-figure job and being disgruntled. It's kind of unusual being an African American, where I know people with PhDs who can't find employment here. So that's one issue. The other issue is, could him leaking this facilitate another agenda? I mean, there are questions like, why hasn't there been justice for the American victims who were attacked by the Israelis on the USS Liberty? What really happened on 9/11? Who killed Robert Kennedy? Who killed Martin Luther King? Who killed Medgar Evers? Who killed all these people in this country? Why aren't these secrets ever brought out? It's interesting to me that secrets about what happens internationally is released when domestic things would be far more flammable for the American public to know what the government's doing. But in one way, I'm glad it's out. I hope that he is not prosecuted. I hope that he finds peace somewhere. But you know, they've gone too far with the security state. Like the people who were massacred at Kent State by American National Guardsmen, that's now a classified national secret that American kids can be murdered in cold blood, and it's some national security. People take this national security to ad nauseum, like my friend Dr. John Johnson, whose daughter Lavina Johnson was raped by a U.S. contractor in Iraq, set on fire and executed and dismembered, and this is national security. Out and out racial hate and killing and murder becomes national security once you get a fascistic dictum in place where no one can ask questions anymore. I thought this was the land of the free and the home of the brave, and if what Snowden, Philip Agee, or anybody else tells something that keeps this as free a society as it's going to be, and I have grave issues with that, why stop it? So to me, I want more things. I want to know who's been killing our leaders. Why is this genetically modified food and other dangerous things being corruptly put on our public? Who paid? Why are these secrets being kept? Why does the government have the right to do these things to us, and we have to keep secrets when our humanity is being violated, or that of our international neighbors in Syria, or Iraq, or Bahrain, or Afghanistan? We shouldn't have loyalty to violation of international human rights. Our loyalty should be to God and humanity and to justice.
Okay.
And American patriotism, if it ever comes to a point where it's against human rights, then we have to have real grave issues, as Martin Luther King did, with American patriotism.
Thank you so much for that, Randy Short. Stuart Sogol, I'm gathering from what Randy Short said a couple things that I'd like to get your reaction on. One is the fact that the government should be more open, from what I understood from Randy Short, that the U.S. government needs to reveal some of the
Absolutely.
Stuff that is that the questions are still out there, some of the examples that Randy Short used there, and also the fact that is this really the land of the free based on the an extensive spying program that has occurred. I guess my question then would be how Americans are going to react to this. We've seen some protests. Your reaction to that?
The Americans are, this is not going to be a campaign issue as we head into 2014. The bottom line to it is that my feeling is that Snowden will eventually be captured, maybe a year, maybe a little bit longer. He will be prosecuted. And if Guantanamo Bay has become a non-issue domestically in the United States, this pales in comparison. So, I mean, the bottom line to it is Mr. Snowden, my view, will in fact be captured. He will be put on trial. And he's going to be doing some prison time. Where exactly and when remains to be seen. But I do not think this is going to be a campaign issue once the Americans head into presidential elections in 2016. It's going to be a non-issue.
Well, Randy Short, can we switch gears a little bit here and look at the international ramifications of what has occurred? And in particular, obviously, the host of EU countries that the U.S. has blamed to have been spied on. And in this case in point, I'd like to talk about Germany. On the one hand, you're seeing a shock and awe from German Chancellor Angela Merkel. On the other hand, There's news that the U.S., based on the revelations by Snowden, who made it in an interview with Der Spiegel magazine, that the U.S. is actually, Germany is actually in bed with the U.S. on this. It's kind of confusing. What are we looking at in terms of, for example, Germany? Are they being sincere or not?
I have my questions. I actually think that Angela Merkel is posturing. I believe all the European countries with the United States conspire against the global South, but for a purpose.
Okay, Stuart Stogel, same question to you. I mentioned Germany as an example. There's a host of EU countries, six of them. They have come out showing this, you know, shock at the extent of it. I mean, is there, are they being sincere, or are they really, you know, not aware of how much surveillance was being done? Specifically Germany, where they said that the U.S. was spying on a majority of the citizens there.
Well, the French, for instance, have a long history of spying on the United States. The Israelis have spied on the United States. This is nothing new. Even the Brits from time to time have been found spying on the United States. So this has been going on for a very, very long time. Angela Merkel, on the other hand, can scream and yell and say what she wants, but the bottom line to it is the relationship between Germany and the United States is such that unless there was some very unusual high-level scandal, which this doesn't really qualify as such, the German-American relationship is going to continue. I don't really think there's going to be real massive fallout, especially in German-American relations, because of the, quote, revelation that the United States may have been spying on Germany. It's not news.
Randy Short, continue where you left off.
Yes. I was saying that Angela Merkel, I agree with Mr. Sobel, they're posturing. In many ways, Germany is a colony of the United States. We have soldiers there. They need us. We deal with them. And in reality, it's a big Western white European cabal with Israel thrown in, and sometimes Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, to basically control the other countries in the world. So I think it's just posturing to make the German citizens feel free. I don't see anything changing there. Germany is a partner in Afghanistan. Germany is a partner in what's happening in Syria. Germany has reneged on its commercial agreements with Iran to please the United States. It acts in concert with the United States. Most of the European countries do. They act like they're independent, but when it comes to Muslim, black, brown, or yellow countries, they march in lockstep with the United States.
Okay, Stuart Stogel, let's look at the six countries here. Again, to me, it's very confusing. The United States, the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and also Germany and France. These have been categorized, these countries. The U.S. called the first party, while the UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand enjoy second-party relationships. Germany and France is said to have third-party relationships. This is based on that Guardian article, by the way, which was removed. It was titled, Revealed Secret European Deals to Hand Over Private Data to America. And I'm going to give you a news that's been released, not leaked, that the German government says it is seeking information from Britain on a report that British spies, well, they've topped what America has done, and they've been eavesdropping on vast amounts of information inside that country. I mean, I get the feeling everybody's spying on each other here.
Well, sure. If you remember, think back about 3-4 years ago, there was a story about Echelon, which was also an intelligence gathering system similar to what we're talking about now. And all the countries that you mentioned, most of the Anglophile countries, were all members of it. And the Israelis were probably the only non-English speaking country that were included. So an Echelon has been going on for at least a decade. So this is really nothing new. The Germans, for whatever reason, seem to have been excluded from Echelon. But nonetheless, this has been going on in one way, shape, or form probably since the end of World War II.
Randy Short, we're going to look at the damage then, and I want to ask you, who damaged the USA more here? The U.S. government that set up a worldwide spy ring to spy not only on its own citizens, but some of the countries we mentioned, the latest of which to add to the roster or the lineup is Brazil and its president who have criticized the USA. I mean, who has hurt this more? The way the U.S. went about it, the extensive amount of surveillance that it's done, or is it something that's we will later find out in terms of any fallouts that it's going to have?
You know, I really think that all of this is negligible, honestly. What's really happening is the neoliberal fascism that is rife in the European Union, Canada, and the United States. This is a distraction from the destruction of civil liberties and the social safety nets in Europe, the United States. Well, we don't even have much here in Canada. So you put this out here that this is going on, but what's really happening, like the trillions of dollars kept offshore by our billionaires that don't pay taxes, as people destroy the social infrastructure of the countries, the United States, Canada, you name it. These are bigger issues. Where's all of our money going? Why does this depression continue year after year? Why did we suddenly have nothing? This is more interesting to me than who's listening to two people texting or talking lovey-dovey with their mistresses. In reality, spying has always gone on. That's what the satellites were all about, going back to Sputnik. So no one should be surprised by this. This is more the art of the obvious. What's really should be more obvious is that people are getting poorer, the rich are getting richer, we have wars without end. They're looking at having wars with Iran and wars with North Korea and wars and wars. These are the issues, the people behind that, and the lies being told to propagandize the public. This is a kind of leaks that we need, whether people see it as national security or not, not what's happening in Germany. People have been watching Germany. They started essentially two world wars as far as the textbook history we get. I have my issues with that too. So no, I don't think the United States is hurt at all. It doesn't decrease the number of missiles. It doesn't decrease the number of planes or its ability to use its force of arms to impose its will on other people. So what is Dilma really going to do? What is Angela Merkel really going to do? In fact, the United States having soldiers and planes and missiles
right.
has
Let
saved
me address
Germany
that question.
A lot of
I'm
money.
Sorry to jump in, Randy
America's
Short. We just have less than a minute.
Sir
Stolo, what is Dilma going to do? Dilma Rousseff, I assume, is what Randy Short said. Or Angela Merkel. What are they going to do about this? Are we going to see what, for example, Dilma Rousseff has said, and that he's going to submit a proposal to the UN to look into the worldwide American surveillance activities?
It's never going to get through any kind of a Security Council resolution. The U.S. would veto it. Could go through the General Assembly.
That's
but
right.
I'll ask you
right.
another question. About a year and a half ago, when Mohamed Morsi was running for office in Egypt, he complained about the same kind of illegal snooping and intelligence gathering that were being done by the Mubarak government on the Egyptian people. He took office, and what did he do? We saw basically the same kind of illegal intelligence snooping on the Egyptian populace that we saw during the Mubarak government, which is resulting in this current mess. So, I mean, I don't know of anyone who has criticized what's going on that has provided a viable solution to address this, quote, illegal snooping around the world.
We're going to have to leave it there. Let me thank our guest. Human rights activist Randy Short from Washington spoke to us, and you just heard Stuart Stogel from Newsmax magazine talking to us from New York. Thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitafoy and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.